Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're going verse by verse through this most wonderful epistle of Paul called Ephesians. It says it's written to the church at Ephesus, but I would have you understand it is written to the not only that church which was at Ephesus, but the church which is today. That is, to the people who belong to the Lord. You know, the scripture says that Jesus spoke to the people in parables, and without a parable spake he not. Paul, in this first chapter, and I think he uses the word mystery, four or five or six times in this epistle. And as we said last week, this word mystery is something not so obvious. It is to one initiated. In other words, you get the inside scoop that not everybody gets. And Jesus says to those who have been given ears to hear and eyes to see, and he's talking about what God is doing. We titled the last message, God is showing himself off or revealing himself. Paul opens this second chapter telling it the way it is. Now, the King James reads in the first verse, it says, "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's not what the original of what Paul wrote says. The original says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins." This "hath he quickened" is added by the translators. I don't know why they think they had to somehow or other improve what Paul was saying. We're not there yet about the quickening of God. So let's look at it the way it is, the way Paul tells it, the way it is. And you and me who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Roman letter tells us that the wages of sin is death. Paul is telling us, even though, trying to think what the word is. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't come to me, I'm not going to worry about it. But he's describing something not obvious to the eye. What he's saying is to the church, to the people who belong to God, is we're dead. because of trespasses and sins. Dead. You know, if you were sitting across the table from me this morning, you couldn't testify to that fact, but God's word testifies to the reality, to the way it is, dead. That means without life. Hear the truth of our shortfallen, hamartia is the word, condition. Because Romans 3, the letter to the Romans in the third chapter says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, he goes on to describe it in a little more detail. He said, who were dead in sins and trespasses, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. Ye lived, actually, is the original. In times past, ye lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Disobedience. The Greek word is apatheo. Patheo is the root of the word pisteo. Pisteos, which we translate faith. What is saying here, and the word patheo is convinced or persuaded by words. When you put an A in front of a Greek word, it means not. Apitheo. Disobedience? Okay, fine. But better is those who stubbornly refuse to hear the word of God. First chapter of the book of Romans speaks that God has turned these people of disobedience, these people who won't run to the Sayer, who won't run to God speaking, who won't run to his word, he's turned them over to a strong delusion, that they might believe a lie. It's June 30th, 2022, and I'm not going to get into political commentary. Suffice it to say, there is an attempt to cause us to be persuaded by some to believe a lie. They believe it! Enough said. where in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh. It's working in them, folks, to the children who won't be persuaded, because God won't let them. Among whom also we had our life. King James says conversation. It's life in times past. In the lusts of the flesh, the word is simply desires. Fulfilling, again, it's repeated, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Paul just says it like it is. Our forefathers, our ancestors, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, sinned. We are a product of their nature. Therefore, we are sinners by nature. And I've said this countless times. You can't be a Christian unless you know you're a sinner. How does the fourth verse of this second chapter of Ephesians open? But Paul says it the way it is. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We walked just like others, but God's people have been given ears to hear and have come to be persuaded that our Father in heaven, who is God, does what he says. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he saith, so shall he do. As he has spoken, so shall he make it good. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. This word, though it has variations because of the Greek grammar, the root is agapao, and it simply means not willing to live without that which he or she desires. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, King James says, has given life to us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By God's grace, by the grace of Jesus Christ, are ye saved. Are you being saved? Saved. It's a continuing activity. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has given life to us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in, such an important word, in Christ Jesus. Pay attention to these, you know, one old theologian said, pay attention to the buts. You know, we're talking about the gospel here, folks. We're talking about the good news. We're talking about that transliterated word from the German, the Gott Spiel, the God speaking. And we should, as obedient, and that word obedience comes from the Latin, two words in the Latin, ob means to run, deance means to say, we do run to the sayer. We run to the God spiel. We run to this good news. I don't know where or how. I have some idea, but we're talking Ephesians here. I'm not going to talk about the history of the church. Where all these doctrines, where all these denominational creeds are made up. They're made up by men, and Jesus said, you make void the word of God by the traditions of man, or man's traditions, catechisms. You know, I was raised in that stuff, and I was not raised in this word, but by his grace. Like Paul, he called me. By his grace, like Paul, he called you. If, in fact, you have ears to hear and are being initiated into this mystery of God, Paul says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, where he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul, listen, that in the ages to come, in the eons to come, there's something coming, folks. There's more to life than what we see. That in the ages to come, he, that is God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace, of his unmerited kindness or unmerited favor, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Paul repeats himself now, for grace are ye saved through faith. that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. There's a reference to this word, saved through faith. I want to go to it. It is in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, 16th verse. Same writer, Paul, again, showing off God. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be made sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. God uses this whole book to uncover this mystery of his will, that faith of Abraham. It's found in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, wherein it says, King James translation, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The literal is, and Abraham amened God, and it, that amening of God, and, you know, amen, that word is, it's the most transliterated word in any language. I don't care what language you speak. It's amen, amen, amen. Whatever language it is, it's there. Amen. And it doesn't mean so be it. It means no doubt. Abraham had no doubt what God said he would do. The Christian doesn't start out amening God, but he does start out grabbing hold of a promise of God and begins in the power of the gospel, the new life we have in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How much of your life in the church have you been told you got to work it out? It comes from that God. I'm not going to say it. It comes from that book of James. It comes from that battle between the Jews at Jerusalem and the gospel which was preached by the Apostle Paul. They were banging heads all the time. Paul says it here, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet this so-called Apostle James, who was never an apostle, he was never a follower of Christ while Jesus was in his earthly ministry. He says, you know, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. You're not saved by faith alone, but by works. Bull spit. Listen, for we are God's workmanship. The word in the Greek is poema. We are God's poem. You don't mess with a poet's work. He puts the words right where he wants them to be. For we are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Well, Don, what you said, not of works. It says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. You know, if there is any good so-called works in your life, this declares God before prepared that we should walk in them, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. I want to go back to the book of Romans. We need to be reminded of this so often, you know, that fourth verse of the second chapter here in Ephesians says, but God, let's go look at another but. We'll go to the 20th verse of the third chapter of the book of Romans. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by your good works, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But, 22nd verse opens, you should put a big circle around it in your Bible if you're following me. But now, and the right translation, I'm going to give it to you, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing, a gift of God. For all have sinned and are dead, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being freely righteousified by his grace through the redemption, that is the price paid, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set before his face forever to be a hilasterion, that is the place wherein God meets man, through faith in his blood, in his life, to declare his righteousness, that's God's righteousness, because he said he would do this for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that is God's righteousness. God is a covenant keeper, and this word righteousness has to do with keeping covenant, that he might be righteous and the righteousifier of them which faith, which have the faith of Jesus, where is the boasting then? It's excluded by what law? The law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law. Where do you find that in the doctrines of men? Where do you find that in the creeds of denominations? Where do you find that in catechisms? God is declaring this mystery to us through His Word, and we be the recipients of ears that hear, that we might be persuaded by God's word, not as others, not as children of disobedience, not as those who won't be persuaded, not as those who believed a lie and were damned. Give glory to God this day and every day, and if need be, several times a day, if need be, all the time during the day. God loved us and is loving us and will do what He said, because He is a righteous God, a covenant-keeping God, and He has given life, real life, to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the God School for today. I hope to hear from those to whom God has given ears on the comment section at thegodschool.com.